In the garage of Dr. Frank Conrad, on November 2nd, 1920, the first scheduled pre-advertised radio program in the United States went on the air. Station KDKA was broadcasting returns of the presidential race on the evening of Election Day. From a humble beginning in a Pittsburgh garage to the sumptuous studios of the national radio networks in New York, Chicago, and Hollywood, these are the years we refer to as the Golden Age of Radio.
There's the Manhattan merry-go-round that brings you the bright side of life, that whirls you in music to all the big night spots of New York town, to hear the top songs of the week sung so clearly you can understand every word and sing it yourself.
Al Kemp, on the air for Griffin.
It's time to shine, shiny shoes anyway.
Sony Home Permanent presents...
This is Nora Drake.
The Golden Age of Radio is brought to you by Burritt Mutual Savings Bank, serving Central Connecticut since 1889. Your host, Dick Bertel, will be with you in a moment after this word.
Do you want to get rich? Rich, you say? Who doesn't? Well, here's how. Save a little each payday. And do it where little deposits are welcome, at the Big B, Burritt Mutual Savings Bank. A small sum saved regularly will accumulate astoundingly fast. Hard work, frugal living, regular saving, all old-fashioned virtues, but the only sure way to succeed, even to become rich. The place to save before you spend? The Big B, the big, strong bank built on faithful small deposits from loyal depositors. Burritt Mutual Savings Bank. 4 convenient offices, New Britain, West Hartford, and on the border of Rocky Hill and Wethersfield. Don't wait. Start saving small or big now.
Member FDIC. And now the host of the Golden Age of Radio, Dick Bertel.
Good evening, and with me once again to share this next hour of old-time radio memories on tape is my co-host.
Oh, hi, Dick. Ed Corcoran here.
Well, Ed, we are at a very special convention.
Yes, we are so crowded, and, you know, it's hard to get into here, but here we are in New Haven at the Golden Age of Radio, the first annual convention.
Yes, as a matter of fact, judging from the success of this one, there are going to be many more Golden Age shows. And let's meet the two co-hosts of this wonderful gathering, Mr. Sal Trapani and Jay Hickerson. Jay, we met on TV not too long ago, and how did you and Sal get together, and whose idea was it?
Well, Sal and I got together about 2 years ago, and Sal got me started, and then I kept giving tapes back to him and everybody else, and I can thank Sal for starting my collection. And as far as the convention, Sal has had a convention in the back of his mind for a long time, and this finally materialized.
When did you first get the idea, Sal?
Oh, back in 1965. I had attended the first comic book convention in 65, and I decided at that time, why not a radio convention, too? And every year I had kept pushing for it, and it finally gelled.
Well, you've been a collector for quite some time now, haven't you?
About 18 years. About 18 years. I started collecting Long John Nebel tapes from New York, and from there I went on to the various other radio shows.
About how many people, Jay, are attending this convention?
Well, we expect about 70 for dinner, and even more than that are here now in the afternoon, browsing around, looking at the displays, and listening to radio programs.
Of course, your guest of honor, Brett Morrison, is going to be our guest next month on the Golden Age of Radio, because we've already met, talked, and interviewed him. And what other types of radio collectors are here? Any specialists, for example?
Well, we have Dick Hayes from Rhode Island, who specializes in Kate Smith. We have Bob Joseph, who's here, who puts out a monthly newsletter, as I do. We have Bob Vito from New York, which has a widely varied collection and does impersonations also. We have Ralph Miller from the Boston area, Massachusetts, that has a little radio club up there with collectors interested in radio.
Well, maybe we can meet some of these people as our show progresses. But first of all, I want to ask you, as we hear an excerpt from one of the old-time radio shows, Sal, to pick one out for us. If you had one choice, what show would you like to hear again?
I believe the X-1 shows were all of excellent caliber.
Can you provide us, Ed, with something?
Yeah, I have
from
the
that?
Whole series. That's when I started collecting for, to collect all those sticks. So I'll pick one out and we'll play one of the better ones, okay?
Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on a thousand maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Galaxy Science Fiction Magazine, presents
X-1.
Tonight, Surface Tension by James Blish.
Come in, Professor. Come in.
Mr. President?
Do sit down. I'm terribly sorry to have kept you waiting.
Time has very little significance, sir.
Well, now, what is the urgent nature of your visit?
Mr. President, for some time now at the Nuclear Institute, a group of us have been making a study of a new star, which has entered our constellation.
Yes, the military advised me there was some disturbance.
We've completed our calculations, sir.
And?
Before I give you our results, let me tell you that we've been in touch with the Scientific Council of the Asian Confederation. They've verified the results.
I'm waiting, Professor.
Mr. President, the effect of this new star in our galaxy will be extremely catastrophic. At the rate it's expanding, it will cause the sun to explode.
But what?
The sun is going to explode.
But, well, that means...
Exactly. The world will end in precisely 2 weeks and 7 hours.
This is incredible. Are you absolutely certain of these calculations?
Absolutely.
Does anyone know of this?
Well, as soon as we guessed where our study was leading us, we classified all information. The actual final results are known only to a small group of scientists here and in the Asian Confederation.
I intend to take the following steps, Professor. First, I will contact the Asian Confederation. What's the name of their chief scientist?
Dr. Gorlick.
Ah, yes. I'll propose that you and Dr. Gorlick be given every resource to find a method of preserving the race. You'll be flown to their laboratories by rocket ship in an hour.
Dr. Gorlick?
Professor, how nice to meet you again. Do sit down, sit down.
Thank you.
Quite a problem, eh?
It's quite a problem.
If the rest of the world knew what we too know.
I feel they should be informed, nevertheless.
Well, that part of it is for the administrators. We have our own work.
Do you seriously believe that we have the remotest chance of solving this problem in the 2 weeks that remain for the universe to exist?
That depends on what you consider a solution, Professor.
Anything that will preserve the race.
In that case, we have a solution.
You're joking.
About so serious a matter? Hardly. But would you step over to the table, please?
Very well.
Now, if you would be so good, look into that eyepiece in front of you while I focus it. Will you tell me, please, what you see there?
Fascinating. Most unusual.
Would you be good enough to describe it?
Yes, of course. I see what looks like a section of a large swimming pool. Plant life. Very tiny, and some kind of animal life, almost molecular in size.
Yes. Now let me change the magnification.
Possible.
Go on, please, describe.
What? I see what looks like dogs, cats, a cow. All evidently swimming underwater in this medium. Wait. Yes, they seem to be dogs and cows and cats, except that they appear to have a gill-like breathing apparatus.
Good, good.
It looks as if somehow these species have been mutated to live underwater.
Exactly, exactly.
I don't understand how this is possible. It would take hundreds of generations, thousands of years, possibly, to effect such a change, even with modern genetic control.
Ah, that is the key, Professor. Let me ask you another question.
Yes?
Would you estimate the size of these creatures?
I would say they're normal size.
And the size of the pool, as you call it?
A tank of quite enormous size. I cannot see the walls, but I assume they are there.
Good. Now, Professor, prepare yourself for a shock.
I've been a scientist too long to shock easily, Dr. Gorley.
Nonetheless, you will be shocked to learn that what you have just been looking into is a single microscopic drop of water.
Get smile power, the kind of confident, contented countenance that comes from cash. Salted away cash in a Burritt Mutual Savings Bank at the highest legal savings bank interest rate. And you don't need a lot of money to do it. You can save a little. It's the constant, patient, every payday habit of saving that really counts. At the Big B, we love your small deposits. We know they grow for you and for us. Result, we will both have smile power. Plus, we help with our high interest rates paid to you on your savings. Burritt Mutual Savings Bank. Deposits insured to $20,000 by FDIC.
We're attending the first annual Golden Radio Buffs Convention here in New Haven. Ed Corcoran, of course, is with us as we present the Golden Age of Radio. And, Ed, you're about to introduce us to a very famous senator from down south, I understand.
Yes, we had Titus Moody. Now we're going to have Senator Claghorn.
Well, Senator Claghorn, it's great to meet you.
I'll say, son, it's good to meet you too, boy. Speak up, son. If you got something to say, I always say, speak right up, boy. I'm from the south.
Are you really?
When I come to New York, I stay at Hotel Dixie. My room has to have southern exposure, son.
Ever
Don't interrupt, son.
Ever see a game at Yankee Stadium?
Never, boy.
Okay, that's really Bob Vito. And, Bob, how long have you been collecting old-time radio shows?
Well, I had been collecting radio shows way back in the early 50s. In fact, even into the 40s, I'd go to a studio, recording studio, and had them made up for a price of $10 per half hour. But they were all thrown out when I went into the Marines. My brother said, who needs this junk? And that was the end of it, you know. Things like The Fat Man, watch all the oohs and the ahs, and the mysterious traveler-type programs, and they were all gone. But in the 60s, thanks to a lot of people that thought enough to save the sounds, why we're able to pick up programs again. And thank God that so many people did save them, because studios such as the ones that had Lux Radio Theater, I understand they've thrown out about 6 years of programming. And they're gone. They're gone forever. And the people that just, different things turn them on. Some people, there's a fellow over there, he's crazy about Gene Autry shows. Another may like the Escape type programs. And if it wasn't for the tape buffs and studios that did manage to save them, they'd all be gone. So I think it's a great thing.
Well, we do, too. Bob, if you had one choice to make, what show would you like to hear again?
That's a rough question. There are too many. If you want me to just single out mystery and comedy, I'd say comedy, Fred Allen, mystery, very tough. I'd say Escape.
Escape. Do you think you can help us escape, Ed?
Yeah, I have a few escapes somewhere along the line. Yes.
All right. Here's an excerpt from Escape.
Escape. Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
400 feet below the surface of the South Pacific, the heavy taste of chlorine gas souring your mouth, while somewhere up above you, searching through the night for you, is an enemy destroyer bent on sending the submarine and you to a murky death.
Listen now as Escape brings you Richard Chandler's exciting story, Pressure.
November 6, 1944. USS Amberfish, SS-593, departed Pearl Harbor for her assigned patrol area, the East China Sea. She carried 82 men and 24 torpedoes. She was commanded by Lieutenant Commander Daniel Hall. Her record was zero. This was her fourth war patrol. On the 32nd day of patrol at 1700 hours, Amberfish surfaced off the southern coast of Japan. Days at sea, cramped living, and thoughts pass between men without being spoken. He knows what the torpedo, the executive officer, the whole crew think. Captain Hall, a book commander. Last night on patrol, and he still goes by the book. Gotta blame someone for an empty sea, for a tired ship, for bringing back a full load of torpedoes four times in a row. The captain stares at the fog, and into his own thoughts. They need officers behind desks. That's where they'll put him after this patrol. A desk officer. Just a few more hours and he's headed for it.
Fog looks like it's thinning.
What? Oh, yeah.
Bridge, this is the conning tower. Radar contact.
This is Bridge. What's the bearing?
033.
Captain?
Yeah.
It's just barely in range. It's funny looking. I don't think it's a fisherman this time.
This is Captain Radar. I'll be right there.
The scope's gone crazy. Can't be.
Keep the bridge, Frank.
Yes, sir.
Come on, man.
Yes, sir. This I gotta see.
Okay, Johnson, what have you got?
Yes, sir, Captain. Now, there it is, sir. See? It's a pip, then it goes, nothing.
Scope's going crazy.
Come left to course 033.
033, sir.
All stop.
All stop, sir.
All right, Mike, what do you hear on the bearing?
Nothing, sir. Not a thing.
Pip's gone. Nothing on the scope either.
Must be the radar, Captain. Must be with our luck.
Luck can change. Steady on course 033.
033, sir.
All ahead full.
All ahead full, sir.
You never can tell. There have been false alarms before. The procedure is standard, by the book. Maybe one last chance to break the dull, leaden monotony that smothers the boat. In the forward battery, the crew's quarters, another rumor.
Hey, we picked up speed. Really moving.
Relax, Bergen. I think they got something on the radar again. Cards to the players. Come on, you guys. I got a wife to support.
5, 10, 15 minutes. All ahead full. The little flurry in the conning tower begins to settle. And then...
Captain!
There it is, sir. We've got it now, sir. We've got it.
Yeah. Man tracking stations.
Just one pip, but it's a big one. I don't believe it.
The men run. There's excitement. No feeling of obedient drill. Even the engines sound different. In the green eye of the radar, the spot grows stronger and holds. A chance, one last glimmering chance for the captain to show he's not a book, to keep his job. Out there in the night, there's something big and fast.
Two. Three. Three smaller pits now, Captain. One big ship and three escorts. Zigzagging.
Still a long way off.
Bridge.
Yes, sir.
You see anything, Frank?
Not yet. Fog's gone, but it's black as pitch. Can we come up to him?
We'll come up to him. Just keep your eyes open. Maneuvering. Tell those motor mechs back there to give it everything. All ahead, flank.
Maneuvering. Make all speed.
All ahead, flank, sir.
What do you think we got, Captain?
We haven't got him yet.
One ship, three escorts. Must be worth something to the Japs.
The moon's coming out. We're getting the moon.
That's something on sound, sir. Heavy screws bearing 041.
Frank, got him on sound now. Can you see?
I think so, Captain. Wait a minute. Yeah. Yeah, I can just about see him. Bearing 040.
That's him. Oh, what do we got, Frank? What is he?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, hold it. Aircraft carrier coming right down the groove.
Battle station torpedo, make ready all tubes and stand by.
Merit Mutual Savings Bank asks you this question. Why should you save? Merit Mutual Savings Bank will also try to answer. The reasons for saving are almost endless. One, it can open the door to your new home. Two, it can give you the means to new furniture, a new car, a boat, a vacation. Three, it can help send your children to college. Four, it can give you that glorious feeling of independence and prosperity. Don't ever feel that you have to have large amounts to save. At Barrett, deposits as small as $1 are welcome, really welcome. Start now and save for all these reasons and perhaps some of your own. If you can't save a lot, save a little. At Barrett Mutual Savings Bank, where deposits are safe and earn good dividends. Start your account tomorrow.
Member FDIC.
The Golden Age of Radio is originating tonight from New Haven at the first annual Golden Radio Buff Convention taking place at the Holiday Inn. And I'm about to speak with a gentleman from Rhode Island who doesn't have his name tag on. So, who are you?
Dick Hayes.
Richard Hayes, Dick.
You're not the Richard Hayes who appears on the Arthur Godfrey Show by any chance.
I wish I were.
Sound like him anyway.
Dick, you have a special interest in old-time radio. What is that interest?
Kate Smith has always been a special interest of mine for as long as I can remember, which goes back to about 1939 or 1940. I remember coming home from elementary school, and my mother would always have Kate Smith Speaks on at high noon from New York. So I kind of grew up listening to that voice, and she was almost like one of the family over the radio every Friday night as well as every noon. I've met her twice, once in New York City when she was making some commercials last winter, and then I spent a wonderful weekend at Lake Placid visiting her at her island home this summer.
What sort of a person is she?
She is just, like people say, just like your next-door neighbor. Just a regular person, down-to-earth, friendly, warm. If anyone has any fear of meeting such a great lady, within 2 seconds, she takes that all away. She's really a wonderful human being.
Dick, the program that Kate Smith was featured on for so many years gave starts, really, to many radio actors and performers.
It certainly did. Abbott and Costello got their start on her program. The Aldrich family with Ezra Stone originated there. It Pays to Be Ignorant got started there. I believe Mert and Marge, which became a soap opera, did too. And Edward G. Robinson was first heard on her program.
These would be little vignettes, wouldn't they?
Yes, that's right. Like 8-minute sketches.
All right, suppose, Dick Hayes, we listen to an excerpt from one of those great Kate Smith shows.
All right, let's pick one from 1942, the Kate Smith Hour.
Kate Smith Sings.
Thank you.
Good evening, this is Ted Collins. It's 8:30 in New York and time for Kate Smith, who tonight brings you her 2,330th broadcast. Songs that are gay and songs that are blue. Songs that are old and songs that are new. All sung for you as only Kate Smith can sing them. Here she is.
Hello, everybody. Some Sunday morning is going to be. Some Sunday morning for someone and me. Bells will be chiming an old melody, especially for someone and me. There'll be an organ playing, friends and relations will stare. Say, can't you hear them saying, oh, what a peach of a pair. Some Sunday morning we'll walk down the aisle. He'll be so nervous and I'll ride a smile. Things sure look rosy for someone and me. Some Sunday morning you will see. Playing, friends and relations will stare. Say, can't you hear them saying, my, what a peach of a pair. Some Sunday morning we'll walk down the aisle. He'll be so nervous and I'll try to smile. Things sure look rosy for someone and me. Some Sunday morning.
You're listening to The Golden Age of Radio, brought to you by Burritt Mutual Savings Bank.
How much should you save? The friendly folks at the Big B, Burritt Mutual Savings Bank, generally say that you should have 6 months' pay in savings. Once reached, your savings goal will depend upon both the wants and needs of your family. Children need $10,000 or thereabout to finance college, or perhaps your goal is the down payment for a home. Money for a more comfortable retirement, or a new car. Don't wait another day. Stop in at Main, Slater Road, Corbin's Corner, or Weather Rock offices of the Burritt Mutual Savings Bank. With passbook savings from 5% to certificates of deposit as high as 6%. The savings people at the Big B have a program tailored to fit your specific needs. So, don't wait. Make a date at Burritt Mutual Savings Bank.
Member FDIC.
The Golden Age of Radio is coming to you from WTIC in Hartford. And tonight, Ed, where are we originating from? I really do know. I don't want our
New Haven, Connecticut, Holiday Inn.
I can't remember.
We're at the first annual convention of the Radio Buffs East Coast Division, and we're talking to some of the collectors like myself that are here this evening, Dick.
So well, one of the people that we're going to meet right now is Dave Swift, who collects those wonderful radio premiums that take us back to the times when we were youngsters. Dave, where are you from?
From Halifax, Massachusetts.
And we have a table here that is just filled with antique relics of days gone by, from big little books to all sorts of badges and the wonderful cards that
bubblegum
we
cards.
Yes, I remember the bubblegum cards. But what specifically do you have that is reflective of radio day?
Well, we have several things we think that go back to the old days of radio. We have 10 or 12 of the old transcriptions that were actually used on the radio broadcast. We have some of the memory books that you can get from the One Man's Family program. We have Little Off and Annie shake-up mugs. Right. The only thing missing is the Ovaltine. We just don't have that now. But it's Leaping Lizards. For a swell summer drink, there's nothing like a cold Ovaltine shake-up, eh, Sandy? And, of course, Sandy is the old familiar Arf.
Yes.
Which we've had
yes.
for a long, long time.
These are made out of genuine plastic.
Yes, I can see that, and very, very attractive. They used to make quite a big thing out of the fact that they were made out of plastic in those days. Do you remember?
Yeah, that was a novelty at the time, and, you know, metal was just passé. Plastic had to be, that was the in thing in our generation.
They were all metal, I think, prior to that time in the early 40s.
Well, let's ask you the same question we've been asking everybody else, Dave. If you had one choice to make, what show would you like to hear? Because we're going to play it on the show right now.
Well, that's great. I think my all-time favorite is The Lone Ranger. I know there are many others, but I think if I had to just hear one, that would be the one I'd like to hear most.
Fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty Hi-Yo Silver, the Lone Ranger. This is the legend of a man who buried his identity to dedicate his life to the service of humanity and country. It is the story of the origin of the Lone Ranger. Early settlers in the West had to be brave men and women, ready to fight for their lives at any moment. There was danger on every side. There were wild beasts, savage Indians, and the Cavendish Gang. Butch Cavendish headed a pack of outlaws. They struck without warning to steal and kill.
Open fire on that wagon train! Wipe them out to the last man!
The Cavendish gang attacked ranches and towns as well as wagon trains. Everyone feared Butch Cavendish. His gang grew rich and powerful. Finally, the Texas Rangers learned where Butch Cavendish and his gang were hiding. 6 Texas Rangers guided their horses along a canyon floor to arrest the Cavendish gang. Presently, Captain Reed signaled a halt.
Right in, boys. We'll wait here until a scout returns.
Do you think it was a good idea to send Collins, our guide, on ahead?
It was Captain Reed's younger brother who asked the question. The captain explained that Collins, who was not a Texas Ranger, was the only man who knew the country and who could scout ahead for information.
Here comes Collins, the scout.
Oh, what's the word, Collins?
Good news, Captain Reed. It's all clear. I scouted the rim on both sides of the canyon and found no sign of the Cavendish outfit.
All right, boys, let's go. Get up there.
Collins, the guide, lagged behind unnoticed by the Texas Rangers, who moved in single file along the floor of the rock-strewn canyon. They didn't know that Collins had lied, that Butch Cavendish and his killers were waiting in ambush on the rim on both sides of the gap.
Here come those Rangers, boys, just as Collins told us.
Yeah, there they are.
Now, we can't get down to the floor of the canyon without going a long way back, and it'll be dark in half an hour. So we'll just keep pouring lead into them from up here until we're sure they're dead. Then we won't be taking any chances. Now open fire!
The Rangers leaped from their saddles and spread out as they returned the fire from both sides of the canyon. Soon, 4 of the Rangers were killed. Captain Dan Reed and his brother, wounded several times, kept fighting side by side. Then the captain fell mortally wounded, and a moment later his younger brother, the last of the Rangers, slumped to the ground. The outlaws waited and watched for any sign of life from the Rangers, then rode away, convinced that all 6 men in Bryant's Gap were dead. Sunset came, then darkness.
Buying a new car in 1972? If so, bank credit may cost you less.
At Burritt Mutual Savings Bank, we offer low-cost, convenient auto loans. But we can do more than just put you on the road. We help you establish credit with a bank. We give you cash buyer leverage. And above all, you either start or continue a relationship with a large and progressive mutual savings bank. Once your credit is established, you may want to purchase a new home, improve your existing home, or take a personal loan to finance your trip across the country. Whatever your borrowing needs, it will pay you to start doing business with the Big B, Burritt Mutual Savings Bank. Once an established Burritt customer with good credit, you become a preferred Burritt borrower. So don't wait. Come into any office of the Big B, Burritt Mutual Savings Bank.
The Golden Age of Radio is originating tonight at the first annual convention of the Golden Radio Buffs here in New Haven. And, Ed, we have a collector from Boston.
Yes, they're coming from all over the country, and Boston is well represented tonight. This is Ralph Miller from that area.
Ralph, how long have you been collecting old-time radio?
Oh, I've been collecting for about 2 years now. I first got interested, and I heard a commercial disc on the radio, and I went out and bought the disc, and then I found out there were programs already available. I found out there were people that actually collected and traded them, and I started looking around, contacting these collectors, and I've been collecting ever since.
How large your collection do you have?
Now I have approximately 1,000 programs.
Do you specialize in anything?
Yes, I specialize in escapes, suspense, and the mysteries, but I also specialize in certain ones with nostalgic value, as I remember as a kid, such as the Buster Brown Gang, Let's Pretend, programs of this sort.
You don't look that old.
No, I'm not. I'm 30, but when I was a kid, they were just about going off the air, and on Saturday I was able to listen to Buster Brown and Let's Pretend.
Ralph, from Boston, Ralph Miller, what one show would you like to hear if you could hear another show again?
Well, excluding the one I just mentioned, of course, I'd like to hear again, oh, some mystery like Escape or Suspense back on the air.
Would you like to hear Suspense? Can we supply that?
I only have 300 of those, but we'll find one that'll fit the occasion.
All right, here we go.
The security of mankind is guaranteed by the balance of nature. If there weren't bigger fish to eat smaller fish, eventually there would be more fish than water for them to swim in. The rabbit is public enemy number one in Australia because there is no indigenous predator with a craving for horse and fetter. The law of the jungle is implacable, and when it is broken, when nature's balance is upset, man had better head for the hills. In a moment, we bring you a classic story of nature's imbalance. On one side, the frightful Formicidae dorylinae, ants, millions of South American army ants. And on the other, a man who knew no fear.
William Conrad in Leiningen versus the Ants. A story well calculated to keep you in suspense.
I first met Leiningen while performing my duty as commissioner of the Toto Santo district along the upper reaches of the Santissima River. As my boat neared his plantation landing, I saw him upon the riverbank regarding me with mild interest. A great hulk of a man with bristling gray hair, bulky nose, and lucid eyes. His entire appearance somehow suggested an aging and shabby eagle. I came quickly to the point of my visit and issued my warning. Leinendrin puffed placidly at a huge cigar and seemed unimpressed.
It's decent of you paddling all this way just to give me the tip, Commissioner. But even a herd of crocodiles couldn't frighten me from my plantation.
You don't understand. These aren't creatures you can fight. These are army ants. They're an elemental force, a gigantic catastrophe, an act of God. 10 miles long, 2 miles wide. Ants, nothing but ants. And each one as big as your thumb. They can strip a man's body to a skeleton in 6 minutes.
Commissioner, in the 3 years I've been here, I've met and defeated more than one catastrophe. Flood, drought, plague. I'm not going to run from this one. Come along, we'll get some horses. You'll want to ride around the plantation. Take a look at the defenses I've rigged.
Defenses? How have you had time?
I've always known that sooner or later the ants would come.
Well, yes, I'd like to see the defenses.
And the ants? We'll be getting a glimpse of them before long, I should think.
Yes, and the ants. The defenses Leiningen had devised were quite impressive. Surrounding three sides of the plantation like a huge horseshoe was a ditch 12 feet wide. The end of this ditch ran into the river, which formed the fourth side of the plantation. And at the upriver entrance to the ditch, Leiningen had constructed a dam by which river water could be diverted. A large hand wheel controlled the floodgate of the dam. As we approached the ditch and rode along it, I could see that it was nearly full.
How do you like my first line of defense, Commissioner?
Well, it's reassuring, like a moat around a castle.
Unless the ants know how to build rafts, they won't reach the plantation. But this is the only the outer moat. There's a better one than this. Come along, we'll go up to the high ground where the buildings are. We can get a view from there.
Leiningen. I didn't see any women or children around the plantation, nor any animals.
Yes, that's right. We moved them across the river.
Oh, then even you think that there's danger?
Not because of danger, Commissioner. Matter of efficiency.
Efficiency?
Cuts down on the efficiency of the men if they're worried about their families. Critical situations only become crises when oxen and women get excited. Look, Commissioner, over there on the horizon. Yes, there are your ants. Look at them.
It was a sight I'll never forget. Over the range of hills, as far as I could see, crept a darkening hem, ever longer and broader until the shadows spread across the entire slope, and then downward, uncannily swift, and all the grass and bushes on the entire slope was being mowed by a giant sickle, leaving only the vast moving shadow, extending, deepening, and moving rapidly nearer.
They're a hideous lot, aren't they?
Oh, Leiningen, we can't last against that. Look at them. Why, they could fill your ditches with their corpses and still have enough to destroy every one of us. We've got to run for it.
No. They haven't gotten to us yet, and they never will.
How do you glamorize a Burritt Mutual Savings Bank savings account? You can't use Hollywood adjectives such as glamorous, stupendous, magnificent, or such. What does describe such a Burritt account? Perhaps steady, dependable, reliable. Not much to shout about, probably, but there when you need it type of assurance. At Burritt Mutual Savings Bank, the safety of your savings is guaranteed by large surplus funds, insurance to $20,000 by FDIC, an agency of the U.S. government, plus a history of good service back to 1889. You get the highest legal interest at Burritt as well. Save where your money is safe and earns good dividends at Burritt Mutual Savings Bank.
The Golden Age of Radio tonight from New Haven, Connecticut, at the Golden Age Radio Buffs Convention. This is the first annual, Ed.
Yes, and very exciting, Dick. There's all sorts of premiums here. There's posters, giveaways. It's really a very exciting time for all of us to be here.
I love these old-time radios that are on display.
Yeah, the Atwater Kent. I thought it was just somebody made up the name, but there really was such a thing on the market.
Oh, don't tell me you don't remember the Atwater Kent.
No, I'm afraid not. Maybe you do, but I don't.
Let's meet John Furman from where, John?
Schenectady, New York.
Schenectady, New York. And you've come all that distance, and that's quite a distance, about 2.5-3 hours drive.
3 hours, that's all. It's worth it.
I guess it must be.
Your fellow collectors and reminisce. Of course, Schenectady, you know, had one of the first stations, WGY.
John, what shows do you specialize in? Do you have any favorites?
Oh, Escape and Suspense.
Most everyone, Ed, I understand, seems to like the mystery shows.
Yeah, I do, too. They seem to come over better over radio than they would on television.
It's the point of people like to be scared. You turn in late at night, like there was a suspense show called House in Cypress Canyon.
Yeah, in fact, we did that once in one of the shows.
Well, I gave the copy of that to a friend of mine, and he was laying in bed listening to that. And his wife was out to a banquet, you know, and it just come to the part where the girl was in the closet door, and she slammed the bedroom door. Now, that guy was on the floor, and he busted the lamps and everything else. Because the his door opened at the same time the closet door slammed, and that was it.
Well, of course, that was what radio is able to do best of all, and in a way, it's a shame that the medium has been lost to us.
Yes, you were telling about your own kids. They heard a shadow one. They couldn't sleep that night. Wouldn't that happen once?
Happened to be the Green Hornet, the example is well taken, yes.
You ever broadcast The Witch's Tale yet?
Well, would you like to hear that particular show?
That was a good one.
Oh. Is that one of your favorites, as a matter of fact?
Well, The Witch's Tale, that is the best of the whole series, is what's available anyway.
Mm-hmm. Okay, suppose we play that.
we bring you The Witch's Tale, written and produced by Alonzo Dean Cole. And now, let us join old Nancy, Witch of Salem, and Satan, her wise black cat.
Hannah and 3 year old I be today. Yes, sir, Hannah and 3 year old. Satan, if these folks want to hear another of our pretty little bedtime stories, you just tell them to douse out them lights so's we'll have it nice and dark. Now draw up to the fire and gaze into embers. Gaze into them deep, and soon you'll be down south with us in old Louisiana. It's strange country down there. Ghost country. And outside a little railway depot there begins our yarn about Graveyard Mansion. Graveyard Mansion.
Good heavens, driver. We're strangers here. Just got off that train. You can't expect us to walk a distance you say is 3 miles at this time of night. Or rather, morning.
We'd be lost among your canebrake and bayous before we got halfway.
I'm powerful, sir, gentlemen, but I wouldn't drive you to the old Tate Gross plantation house at night for all the money in the New Orleans mint. And neither will anyone else in these here parts.
Why not?
What's wrong with the Ted Gross place?
That old house ain't been lived in for 900 years. For good reason. Folks here call it Graveyard Mansion. Because it's a house of the living dead.
What?
That's all I know, gentlemen. Good night.
Hey, come back here.
Wait a minute. Well,
I'll be doggone. Drove off and left us flat.
He didn't even want to stay and talk about the place, Kurt.
Lord, Al. It looks as though we've inherited a haunted house. Poor superstitious idiot.
Imagine believing in ghosts in this 20th century.
How can people be so dumb?
There's the marker they told us to look for, Kurt. The house must be just beyond those trees.
I hope it is. It's Louisiana's eerie country at night. Ghastly Spanish moss hanging from the trees seems to writhe like something living.
And those clouds of mist that rise from the bayous take strange shapes, half-human shapes. Sort of puts one in the mood to almost believe in ghosts.
Mm-hmm. What if we didn't have good sense?
Look.
Huh. We've arrived.
Kind of a spooky-looking old place at that.
It's different than I pictured it. Sort of like a French chateau.
Our ancestor who built it was married to a French woman. She was probably responsible for its design.
Let's go in.
Wait. Kurt, look there. Those tombstones.
A little burial ground. Maybe that's why they call the house Graveyard Mansion.
That's what I was thinking.
Then come on.
Wait a minute. Does it seem to you there's something moving in the darkness beyond those tombstones? Something white?
Yes. Oh, some of that ghastly mist that rises from the bayous.
I suppose so. It looked almost like a woman.
Well, let's go inside the house and get some sleep before we become as goofy as the natives we've talked to. Hold this lantern while I find the keys that lawyer sent us.
His men didn't fix the place up very well. There's a broken window.
I see. Here we are.
Phew.
Black as a coal mine in here.
What was that?
Oh, bats. The place is full of them.
Oh.
Wish I could find a lamp. That lantern isn't much good.
No, its light doesn't seem to penetrate this darkness at all. It's almost a non-natural darkness.
Yes. It's funny. The ventilation from that broken window, it ought to smell sweet in here. It's an earthy odor about the place, like a tomb.
What's that?
Door slam.
Curtis, down that hallway.
A woman! That laugh!
Well, she's no figure of the mist.
I'll soon find out who that is. Come on.
She's disappeared around the corner.
She went through that little door. Help me.
There
it is. It's stuck.
Right.
I've got it.
It leads to the cellar. There she goes, down those stairs.
Hey, stop you. Who are you?
She doesn't even look around.
After her.
Hold up that ladder now, let it...
Oh, the bat knocked it from my hand.
We're in the dark!
With her! That laugh again.
Hold on to your nerve. I've got matches.
Well, give me a light, for God's sake, light.
Here.
Oh, thank God.
The lantern isn't broken.
Unlight it, quick.
I have it. Now we'll see what...
The woman's gone. The cellar's empty.
Where does she go to? This isn't a true cellar. It's just a little vault. There's no way out save by these stairs.
She couldn't have passed us. They're too narrow.
The vault is bare. No place in which to hide.
Curtis, what's that set up in the wall?
Why, it's... burial crypt.
A burial crypt? A tomb!
You know, we've had a great time here tonight. We've met a lot of interesting people, and we've heard some great shows, as a matter of fact. Sal, is it successful? Are we going to have more?
I hope so. And if we do, it'll be an annual event every first week of August. And that's about the best I can say for now.
Of course, it's a national convention already, with Brett Morrison flying in from Palm Springs.
Right.
I would
Absolutely.
Think that you'd find more collectors congregating here in New Haven next year.
Right.
How many collectors, Jay? Do you have any idea how many collectors there are in the country?
Oh, I'd estimate over 2,000, which is a far cry when Ed Corcoran started collecting. It may have been 5 or 10 that he corresponded with.
trying to find a needle in a haystack, really, in those days.
All right, let me ask you. Do you think you'll ever see the day when radio will come back the way we knew it?
I hope so. I fervently hope so.
But I don't think so.
Well, that's our show for tonight. It's been great fun visiting down here. And Ed, until next time, this is Dick Bertel.
Ed Corcoran.
Good night.
Tonight's program has been brought to you by Burritt Mutual Savings Bank, serving Central Connecticut since 1889. The Golden Age of Radio with Dick Bertel was produced and edited by Brian Hartnett, engineered by Dick Zwirko and Bob Schirego. This is Al Terzi.
Pepper Young's Family. The story of your friends, the Youngs, is brought to you by Camay, the mild beauty soap for a smoother, softer complexion.
Rinse-o white and rinse-o bright.
Broadcasting from New York City, the Lucky Strike program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Bill Harris, Rochester, Dennis Day, and...